Okay, so we're just getting started today because also tonight is our Psalm Cafe. And I encourage you to come back as we kind of culminate this whole summer with this cafe. We'll have some time at 6 o'clock together with some special songs and people sharing more things that God's given them as original pieces. And then this whole gym and 150 out here has been transformed into a cafe. 150 looks amazing already. And it's going to be just fellowship and time to interact with the Psalms even more. In fact, come thirsty because there's like drinks for every category of Psalm that our team has prepared. I'm talking like lament latte and like praise punch and like confession coffee. I mean, I was amazed at the creativity of the team. So it's going to be a great night. But who better than longtime Forsyth Christian School band teacher Alice Hess to read Psalm 150, and then we're going to look at that briefly together.
Psalm 150, praise the Lord, praise God in his sanctuary, praise him in his mighty heavens, praise him for his acts of power, praise him for his surpassing greatness, praise him with the sounding of the trumpet, praise him with the harp and lyre. Praise him with timbrel and dancing. Praise him with the strings and pipe. Praise him with the clash of cymbals. Praise him with resounding cymbals. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Now, I chose this psalm because I'm a musician, and it's all about praising God with music, especially with instruments. It says you can praise him with trumpets, harps, lyres, strings, pipes, they're like flutes. Remember that David also sang many of his psalms strumming on a harp, just like we do in church with the guitar. But I want to point out the clashing cymbals. Clashing cymbals are pure noise. So even if you don't think you have any musical talent, praising God with noise is just fine too. Now, I taught band at Forsyth Christian School for about 25 years, and the kids played many worship songs that I wrote out for them. But when I was teaching a beginner band, these are the kids that are just starting off on their instruments, teacher would come by and say, how can you stand all that noise? But, you know, and it was true, there was a lot of noise, but I would give them five-note songs like God is So Good. And when they played that, I think God saw that as praise, even though it was noise. Thank you.
All right, you know, I'm gonna stay down here. It's a good thing I'm nice and tall so everyone can see me so well. I've only got about 10 minutes on Psalm 150. What a fitting last psalm, not just for us and our experience this summer, but for the whole book of Psalms to end with this Alleluia chorus. It starts, praise the Lord, and it ends, let everything that has breath, what? Praise the Lord. That word is Alleluia. Actually, two words in the Hebrew. Alleluia, all you praise. And then the Lord, Yah, is the abbreviation for the name Yahweh. So it's praise the Lord. Praise, the word halal means to boast in. It could be used in negative ways in the Old Testament, like people that would boast in idols or people that would be known as the arrogant or the boastful. But here and often it's used, hey, don't boast in that stuff. Boast in the Lord. And Psalm 150 calls us in all the Psalms and this word, hallelujah, boast in the Lord. We know how to boast and even to brag, even about good things. We brag on our families. We brag on our nature and creation, and we boast in just the beauty of it. We brag on a good meal, right? When we've had a good meal, we say, oh, it is so what? Good. Oh, it is so good, right? And what about the Lord? And do we remind ourselves and others, oh, God is so good. And he's the source of anything that's good. And so the psalm doesn't give options. It tells us who to boast in. Praise the Lord. Praise God. Praise him. 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 Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. For those of you that don't like to fill in the blanks and fill in the blank, you love Psalm 150 because the blanks are filled in for you. How often we want to replace, you know, that with other blanks. We get focused on praising, you know, people or just other things. And yet at the source of anything good and certainly above anything bad, The Lord is worthy of our praise. I think Brother Jeff quoted Psalm 145:3. Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. The Lord says through Jeremiah in Jeremiah chapter 9, let not the wise one boast in their wisdom, or the strong boast in their strength, or the rich boast in their riches, but let him who boasts boast about this. In other words, there is something to boast in, but it's only this, that they understand and know me, that I am the Lord who exercises kindness, justice, and righteousness in earth, for in these things I delight. May we boast in the Lord. A question we got to ask is, how are we boasting in the Lord lately? And if we're not, it's not so much trying harder, it's remembering who he is, that it would overflow right in us and through us. So your first point, praise boasts in the Lord. Your second point, if you're following around along, praise is the whole point. The whole reason we exist, we're made as worshipers. We're going to worship something. God says, praise the Lord. Let everything that has what? Breath, praise the Lord. That's the only requirement. If you're breathing, you should be boasting. So raise your hand if you're breathing. That's the only reason you need to praise the Lord. You know, some have made a big deal about this, bigger than I would, but it is interesting. Some have observed that even the sound of our breath resembles the name of the Lord, Yahweh, that he reveals himself with in the Old Testament. So if you think about inhaling, it's like a Yah, and exhale is like a Way, like a, let's just do breathing exercise together. Ready? Inhale, Yah. Exhale, Way. Again, some make a little bigger deal of it than I would, but it would not surprise you, would it, if God built into our very breath his name, because he's pursuing us in every way conceivable. And so if even your own breathing reminds you, Yahweh, wow. God is good. Ruth's shirt says, baptized today, Yahweh, our very breath speaks his name. Oh my goodness. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. We are commanded to praise throughout the Psalms. So Psalm 113, from the rising of the sun to the place where it sets. That's in all places. The name of the Lord is to be praised. Psalm 117:1, praise the Lord, all you nations. That's all people. Psalm 145:2, I'll bless you and praise you every day, forever and ever. That's all times. Psalm 74:21, let even the poor and needy praise your name. That's a reminder in all circumstances. It's all people at all times in all places in all circumstances, if we're breathing, have reason to praise the Lord. Psalm 147 verse 1 says, it's good to sing praises to God. It's pleasant and fitting. It's the right response. I think about how often my responses and my words in the course of life are completely unfitting compared to what I should know about God and how he's called me to function. It's always fitting and appropriate. I can never go wrong praising the Lord. Psalm 63:5 says, my mouth will praise you with joyful lips. And there ought to be a joy in our praise. We've talked about lament. And there is an important place for lament that we treasure, where we can bring our grief to the Lord and allow him to meet us in a sad place and minister us. Jesus taught us how to do that. But as we said last week, joy comes in the morning. So no matter how dark the night, joy is going to come. And it's not an equal side of the coin, because joy wins in the end. We find great joy, even in God, in the midst of lament. As I said last week, that's unique to our experience as believers in Christ. It doesn't happen in other houses of worship, in other world religions. There's not joyful singing like we do at the church. Often it's restricted or prohibited. But we, as those who know Jesus and know what he's done for us, and know where we stand with him, that by faith we're accepted in Christ and not still striving. We've already had the victory, so we can have joy. And what a joy it is. But sometimes our praise isn't all that joyful, you know? And we've got to come back and remember who God is. It's almost as if, I think of Jesus, an illustration, if you were to drop a Mentos into a 2 liter of Diet Coke, what would happen, right? I think Jesus comes into our lives and wants to stir our hearts up to burst forth and overflow with praise, but sometimes our praise doesn't have much fizz, right? Sometimes it's flat. And if that's you and you feel that way, just know you're still welcome here, no matter what kind of mood your heart might be in. But as we gather together, we're looking to, as Psalm 150 says, to his acts of power in verse 2, to his surpassing greatness. We need to get him back in the center of our focus. Even in the midst of grief, we can remember who he is and find joy in him. We praise him. And it's praise is a team activity. That's your next point. Psalm 150, verse 1. Praise God in his what? Sanctuary. He's kind of assuming that people are gathering together as they did in the Old Testament, and as would become the pattern in the New Testament on the first day of the week, believers would gather together to praise the Lord. It's almost as if often today there's a sense of, if something happens in my life, it's not really official till it's posted on social media, right? I have to post all the important things. And in a similar way, in God's word, you kind of see like when God's doing stuff, it's great, but it's not really finished until someone's praising God for it. And so I love when we come not just to share prayer with each other, but hey, let's take a moment and praise God together. Let's take a moment and give him praise in the congregation. Let's go public with it. I know we speak about our personal relationship with Christ, and praise God for that, that you and I can come by ourselves on our own with no other mediator through Jesus into God's presence and be accepted and heard by him and build a personal relationship with him. But that personal relationship was never meant to be private, right? And so it's good for us personally to come together and to share with one another who God has been to us and what he's doing. I love how we've done that today. Oh, isn't it a blessing? And even to have heard publicly from those being baptized, praise God for giving them courage to go public and the encouragement that that brought as we thought about God's work in their lives. So Psalm 22, Psalm 111, Psalm 35:5. Read this out with me, all these various verses. From you comes my praise in the great congregation. I will give thanks to the Lord with all my heart in the company of the upright, in the congregation. I will give thanks in the great assembly. Among a mighty people, I will praise. See, there's a sense in which the gathered people are essential to our own experience with the Lord. And so I praise God that he's given us each other here at 4C. And lastly, praise team has a spot for everyone. And that's the beauty of these verses, and verses 3 through 6 is that lists the instrument, the sounding trumpet, like what Pastor Lonnie plays if we're really lucky at the end of a service around here, right? The harp, the lyre, probably a guitar instrument, the tambourine or timbrel and dancing, often those two join together in the scriptures. We have a dance ministry here at 4C, partly for this reason, right? Praise him with the strings and the pipe, probably a flute or pan flute type thing. Praise him with a clash of cymbals and even louder cymbals. Don't you love this picture of an orchestra? What is God saying through this picture? Everyone's got a part in this. I love our orchestra and choir ministry, not just because of the songs they sing, but because of the picture they are about. It takes all people in the body of Christ to make a harmony for the Lord together, right? And so maybe you can't sing as effectively or play an instrument, but what part do you have to offer in serving the Lord? If you can't play an instrument, maybe you're playing field hockey this fall and you're doing that for the Lord. Maybe you can fix cars. Maybe you can cook meals. Whatever it is, we know from the scriptures, right? Do it all for the Lord Jesus Christ. And you're part of this praise chorus. Oh, I love that we come together and sing, but it's so much more than what we do in here, right? It's serving him within and beyond these walls with the gifts that he has given us. Let me try to give you some applications here in our time that remains. And let me get a little specific here. But as I think, how can we apply this to our lives in this season? One, I would encourage you, prioritize and prepare your heart weekly for corporate worship. What do we mean by that? I mean, this time that we have together is so rare in the course of a week, right? And so very precious. And it's been essential for God's people to gather together regularly and to offer their worship to him. A couple months ago, someone newer to following Christ asked me, so how much should I plan to like come to church and stuff? And I said, maybe like 52 times a year. let's aim for that, right? I mean, what else would we do, right? Is that not what we can aim for together to be part of the gathered body. And I explained to him, you know, church is not a building, church is not a service, church is the people of God. But when the people of God gather weekly, yeah, try to prioritize being there. Now, I know, you know, all different seasons of life, all different situations. We have people who would love to be here with us today that have real physical troubles or reasons why they can't. So plenty of grace there. But I would encourage you. Recently, as we've had kids in college now, people ask Meg and I, so, you know, what should we know about parenting as they're younger? And, you know, what are some of the keys there? So help them to, you know, lead to them walking with Jesus. And we'll say, well, first of all, there's no guarantees, right? We don't control outcomes. But I said, one of the things we realized early on is they need a lot more than us. And so we're going to just make it our pattern and our value to be part of God's people on a regular basis. And since our kids were born, I think you could probably count on one or two hands the number of times when we have been gathered in worship on a Sunday morning. Certainly there's physical things there along the way and other reasons why we really can't. Vacations, we'll find a church and we'll worship there. And what a blessing that is to see what God's doing elsewhere. And so, how are we prioritizing that? Because now our oldest have adopted that value in their lives and are spreading that to others on their campuses and are engaging in the life of the local church in just fantastic ways. Think about raising kids, you know, they'll spend about 110 to 120 hours awake each week. About 35 to 40 of those hours will be in school. About, look it up, 40 to 50 of those hours will be on their phones. Look it up. on average. That's a lot of hours that aren't necessarily shaping them and encouraging them directly in the Lord. So can we prioritize, you know, gathering together for a couple hours, 3 hours even on a Sunday morning? I would encourage you, think about how can you make use of this whole morning. It's fall, we're settling into new routines, and we've got classes first and second hour, worship first and second hour, and trying to help you to do both as the Lord would enable you and as you would prioritize, and even to think about how we can serve and help others to be part of the worship here at Sunday mornings at 4C. So consider serving in ministries that help others to worship, because some would love to be part of the worship more regularly, but have kids that need care, and so we're trying to strengthen our children's ministries. Have kids with special needs. We're trying to raise up a team to serve kids with special needs so that people can come and worship here while their kids are being cared for. By the way, if you've got kids sixth grade and up, I would encourage you to have them in worship. You know, and go to class first. Have them go to class first hour. There's a class for teens. Have them in worship second hour. Don't let that replace being part of the singing and people of God that are gathered together on a Sunday morning. And if you're struggling with that or need more help and along the way, like, let us help you figure out how to do that, because I believe that'll be the greatest blessing. And some of you come with even younger kids into worship, and that's great. But do take advantage of the ministries, and we need to serve in these ministries and help each other around here. Consider even serving in the worship ministries. I can't help but highlight our worship ministries in Psalm 150. Consider serving in those and bless those who are, because they're usually the first ones here, sometimes the last one to go. Bless those that are leading worship. Pray for them, encourage them in their ministry. And if you're learning an instrument or gifted that way, consider being part of that ministry. And of course, that ministry is not somehow altogether higher or better than any of the others. And so find your instrument, whatever it is, whether it's a voice or a musical instrument or a gift that God's given you, and serve the Lord with it. And so as you settle into the fall season, how has God gifted you to serve the Lord? We're going to think a lot about that this fall. We're going to be in 1 Corinthians starting next Sunday. And we're going to be partly considering how God is building his church, but building each of us and gifting each of us to participate in his work. And so I'm excited. We'll have a seminar in September and just a lot of opportunities to learn about how God's working in and through 4C and how to engaged, not just to volunteer, but to find out how you're gifted and equipped and to serve in those areas that God has shaped you to serve. There's a difference. And so be praying about, what would that look like for me this fall, this year, to discover that and to begin to serve. You know, someone reminded me at the end of first hour that 20 years ago, Hurricane Katrina came and hit, and how during that time, people were using their instruments to go down there from Forsy. They would go down there, and they'd use their instruments and their gifts and their skills and their equipment to serve the Lord. So whatever it looks like, I pray that we'll serve the Lord together this fall. Let me pray for us as we close. Oh, Father, I thank you for the things we've seen in your word, for how we've seen in the Psalms your people gather together to give you praise. And Father, I pray you'd stir up praise in our hearts. And Lord, help us even to consider again how worthy you are of all that we offer you. And Lord, not with any guilt or shame or all that legalism stuff. This is not about trying to impress you or trying to earn your pleasure with us. But as we just think more about how good you've been to us, how delightful you've been to us, that we would serve you and worship you with great delight in our hearts, God. So help us to do that. And thank you that you're worthy. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.